This is a recording of a sermon given at the First Unitarian Church of St. Louis.
Good morning again, and thank you for being here. Today I'm going to talk about being the hero of your own story, what that means, and why you'd want to do this. One particular aspect of the hero's journey, the call into the adventure of life, obstacles you may encounter to doing that, and how to tune into what's calling you. Also, finally, blessings of a community context for being a hero. So, what does it mean to be the hero of my own story? Do I have to choose between being Superman, Spider-Man, or Batman? Or Wonder Woman, Catwoman, or Storm? No. Just as our fingerprints are unique, each of us has unique superpowers and a unique hero's nature. Being the hero of my own story means I have agency. I have the power to act on my own behalf. I have the right to take up space in my life and the right to have a voice. I am the subject of my story, not the object. And I'm in the foreground, not in the background. I get to be the main character, the protagonist of my story, situated in the center. I get to be real, authentic, and wholly myself. And I get to bring forward that uniqueness into my life. So why frame my life as a hero's journey? First of all, patterns provide context. The archetypal patterns, those original, timeless, essential patterns of life that underlie the myths, many myths throughout our world that were studied by Joseph Campbell, they include seasons and cycles, birth, growth, death, rebirth. And so I get to be a part of something larger and relate my own experience to the patterns of the wider world. Patterns can provide a template or guidance, a framework to see my life through. It's a way of making sense of the world and my life. It also helps me provide and understand myself as belonging to the larger human community. Another reason to frame my life as a hero's journey is I get to retain the locus of power, agency, within myself, not outside of me. It reminds me that I always have choice, including how to respond to life. Certainly hard things are going to come my way, but I don't have to see myself as a victim. I can decide how I want to respond to those hard things. Another reason to frame my story and my life as a hero's journey is the power of positive thinking. By doing this, it helps me overcome adversity. It gives me hope and encouragement. It inspires me. And how we see ourselves lays the groundwork for that to become true. It also provides meaning, a sense of purpose, and we are meaning-making, storytelling animals. We want reasons and explanations in the face of chaos. So why not choose something empowering? So maybe part of you is like, yeah, this sounds kind of interesting. Maybe I would do this. But another part may be like, yeah, I don't know. So what gets in the way of seeing ourselves as heroes and following our calls into the adventure of our lives? First of all, there's external messages like advertising and the wider culture, even teachers and parents. When I was in grade school, I had a principal. I went to a Missouri Synod Lutheran parochial school. And he actually said, "You're too smart for your own good." So here I am, curious, engaged, excited about learning, and this was turned around to something to be ridiculed and shamed. It's a little ironic that this is the school where I learned the song, "This Little Light of Mine, I'm Gonna Let It Shine." Our society can, at times, drive us and encourage mediocrity and conformity, a don't rock the boat attitude. And we want to belong. We want to survive, and we know that being part of our human community is needed for that. And then perhaps this is changing some. Internet marketing expert Seth Godin wrote a book, among many books, called We Are All Weird. And he's talking about the difference between mass culture, mass advertising, mass appeal, that bell curve of normal, and says, the epic battle of our generation is between the status quo of mass and the never-ceasing tide of weird. He says that with our technology continuing to advance, we're able to find other people like us more and understand that even though we're weird, we have a community as well, kind of like this community. There's also internal factors, like our minds and our logic and our will. Parker Palmer in our reading talked about deciding what we think we should be or do, resulting in an imitation of heroes rather than being our own unique hero selves. There's also fear of reality, of survival, money, food, shelter, healthcare, the basics. And I invite us to wonder about how beliefs and stories create reality, how seeing ourselves as heroes with agency and choice can help to transform what we think about as reality. In terms of all of these obstacles, we can see them as challengers, even villains, and we may see people like that in our own lives. And we could look at them as initiators, people who challenge us to grow and change. They're the ones who strengthen us. So in the face of obstacles, choosing to see one's life as a hero's journey enables creative problem solving, positive forward motion, gratitude instead of resentment for those obstacles, and then even wholeness and integration as we bring all the various parts of ourselves to come together to live our story. So even obstacles are part of the journey. So what does call us into life, into the adventure of living only my unique story that only I can live out? So the classic scenario is the hero, she's been comfortable and content in a good place in her life, and she starts to have a sense of dissatisfaction, like a nagging and a wondering, a curiosity, wondering if there's something more. She's feeling less willing to settle and wanting more than the status quo. Sure, this is scary and risky and unknown to think about something different, to think about change, and yet it can be an inspiration to dream, a willingness to reach and stretch and grow, to transform into the person who's ready to live those dreams. This is probably the part I'm most nervous about. I wanted to share a song with you that I learned at a retreat center called Diana's Grove. It was down in the Ozarks, and I went there for many years. It's called Come Away, Human Child, and it's about hearing that call into more. Come away, human child. Come away to the green wood, see wonders great and wild. You always know that you could. I hear a call. It comes from far away. I know not where it leads. I follow to my destiny. So what is that call from far away or deep inside? Joseph Campbell calls it the joy of being alive, of experiencing aliveness, that life force, the beating of our hearts, the rise and fall of our breath, desire. And what if it's not a singular call but a series, life inviting and beckoning to us over and over again as we awaken and reawaken. It's tempting to think that there's one call, a destination, that we can figure it out and we'll have it, rather than a journey or a process. Our church's tagline is, "The search is the answer," and I love that. So the call as a process leads to where we are going, which may be different than what we imagined. Poet David White writes, "What you can plan is too small for you to live." Our minds and our logic, our sense of reality, can limit what our heart is yearning for. So how to connect with our calling at a core level? First of all, ask. Christine Walters-Paintner says, "What journeys are calling to you? How might you awaken to the worry the world is inviting you deeper into yourself?" And then get quiet. For me, that involves breathing, journaling, walking, stretching. Then listen. From our reading today from Parker Palmer's book, Let Your Life Speak, he writes, "Before you tell your life what you intend to do with it, listen for what it intends to do with you. Before you tell your life what truths and values you have decided to live up to, let your life tell you what truths you embody, what values you represent." Then pay attention and notice. Internal messages can be touchstones, your heart and intuition whispering guides, the soft, still voice within as your ally. Joseph Campbell talks about it as following your bliss. He writes, "If you follow your bliss, you put yourself on a kind of track that has been there all the while, waiting for you, and the life that you ought to be living is the one you are living. Wherever you are, if you are following your bliss, you are enjoying that refreshment, that life within you, all the time." And Mary Oliver says, from our responsive meditation, "You only have to let the soft animal of your body love what it loves." So I'd like to offer you an idea that there's a core coherence and a correspondence between our call into our unique adventure and what is actually divine and unique within us. So, Jesus, in the Gnostic Gospel of Thomas, actually gives us a mandate. He says, "If you bring forth what is within you, what you bring forth will save you. If you do not bring forth what is within you, what you do not bring forth will destroy you." And as you might recall in the reading, Joseph Campbell talks about, in doing that, saving yourself, you save the world. The influence of a vital person vitalizes. And any world is a valid world if it's alive. The thing to do is to bring life to it. And the only way to do that is to find in your own case where the life is and become alive yourself. So what are the blessings of being a hero in a community context? First of all, belonging. As we read this morning in Mary Oliver's poem, the wild geese announce our place in the family of things. We have a context. And we are creating here and have the opportunity to create beloved community, the kingdom of God here on earth. Community is a context and can be of validation, support, and encouragement. It's also the context in which my calling and my gifts can be played out. I need others to serve and share my gifts with. We all do. We need a place for our gifts to come to life. Also, I can understand my role in community, how I fit in, and where I contribute. And we can support each other in discerning and living out our calls as they emerge. We can be a source of allies and mentors to aid on our individual journey. For example, my collaboration with Brian on this service. I knew I was not alone. And it was really cool to see the intersection of our journeys as we worked on the service together. Which leads me to wonder about a confluence of calls, the intersection or coalescence of different things that people are hearing in their hearts that move them and need to be followed. An example I see swelling here in our congregation is our support for racial justice by bridging the Del Mar divide. And I believe it takes group action to slay the dragon. In conclusion, I wanted to share a little bit about my personal story, starting with my brother's hospitalization last fall. Many of you know he was in the hospital for 3 months with a bad abdominal infection. And you all, the whole community, held me and my family throughout that ordeal. And it was an ordeal. I also had Cecilia Owen, our ministerial intern, walking with me and being a guide to me as I tried to sort out what that experience meant to me, as I tried to see myself as the center of my own story, not just all about my brother. What I realized as I faced mortality is that I need to think about where my heart is leading me. And I need to bring forth that which is emerging. As I dream about how I can contribute, and I'm listening for my call so that I can follow it to my destiny. Will you join me in listening for your calls and becoming the hero of your own stories? Thank you, and blessed be.
You have been listening to a sermon recorded at the First Unitarian Church of St. Louis.